Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning at North Hollywood First United Methodist Church. As we prepare for worship, if you would find the ritual of friendship paths on the center aisle and register your presence. To those who might be in this space for a first or second time, we'd like to thank you for spending your important worship time here. And to that end, if there's some way we might be helpful, please alert us. There are ushers if you have an immediate question. There are in the worship bulletin, there's a phone number, an email, and a website. And in the pew pockets and also online, there are questions of faith. We deal with these virtually weekly. Somebody brings us a thoughtful question, and then we post it on the website along with a little preview of the weekly sermon. After worship, if you would please stick around, there's refreshments in the lounge out these doors and two doors over, and you'll hear the announcement about our art project for children who are suffering, and Patty will tell us more about that. Let us stand and affirm our faith as we sing our opening hymn 185.
In this moment, gracious God, you have called us away from the world to a place and a time where we can commune with you and with one another. Hallow this communion, we pray. Calm our anxious spirits, that we may be set apart to hear your word of truth, through which we receive grace to bring about the obedience of faith. Open us to the reality of your all-embracing love, both in this place and in the wider world. May we, by our words and actions, be bearers of your kingdom. In the name and spirit of the Christ, amen. If you will now please open your bulletins, we will join together in the call to worship based on Romans 14 and Matthew 18. Welcome to you, the weak and the strong.
Christ Jesus welcomes us here.
Welcome to you, sinners and saints.
God's grace embraces us all.
Welcome to you, forgiven and forgiving.
The Spirit binds us in unity and love.
Seated, and now please open your red hymnals to number 398, Jesus Calls Us.
Thank you.
By way of a prelude to prayer, I want to tell you, it's not really a story because it's true, it happened. Yesterday I was at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, and I was there for a cancer awareness event. It was a singular event for those families who have been afflicted by brain cancer, and some of you know that I lost my only brother, Tom, to brain cancer. It'll be 2 years this Saturday. And last year, members of my family and friends of my brother went and walked. And let me say first that it was a unique experience to walk on a Major League Baseball stadium. I say on, not on the grass, because they had a game yesterday. But we were walking around and around the parking lot, and they were raising money and all of that. Somehow in the midst of this, I became aware of how many volunteers were there. There were thousands walking, but there were hundreds upon hundreds of volunteers who gave their time to literally at some point to hand us water or a protein bar, to literally cheer us on. There were people who just cheered, and my sister-in-law had all powder blue shirts that said Tom's Team in it, and it had a little picture of an antique truck, which my brother loved, and it's still in the family. At one point, I turned to my sister Kim, who I was walking next to, and just said, "It's amazing how many people are here just volunteering and giving of their time." Well, we just sang a song about Jesus calling us over the tumult of life's wild and restless sea, and that's what happens. God calls us. So I'm going to ask in as kind a way as I can, and hopefully no guilt attached, for you to consider the gifts that God has given you and what you might give back. And I don't mean just money. I mean what God calls you to do with your life in this parish. And I know we're about to do a wonderful thing with the art care gifts. But there's the business of the church, which isn't particularly sexy or fun, of serving on commissions and committees. And we're in a season where we think about this, and either myself or somebody else from the lay servant committee will possibly be contacting you and seeing where you might serve. I see some smiles because we have some seasoned church folks here, and it's just a thought. Just a thought. And so pray with me if you will. God, we know that you call and claim us in a variety of ways to do a variety of deeds, some of them enormously fun and some of them probably stultifyingly boring. But all of your work is important. And so do call us over the tumult. Do call us into places unknown and into deeds, some of it wondrous, all of it important. Bless us that we might learn to serve others in your name with joy, whatever the task. Help us to be aware of those in need. As my sister and I and the family walked around, we witnessed pictures of people who had been stricken, and we heard testimony of those who have been healed of cancer yesterday. It was powerful. It touched me, in part because I turned to Kim and said, you know, I don't know more than a half a dozen of the people who are here wearing this t-shirt honoring our brother. So there are people who care for us that we don't know, and they don't care that we don't know. They're there for their own reasons because they're touched in heart and mind and body and soul. Enable us, O God, to bless and be a blessing, and to allow your blessings to abound in our life, because this is your will and your way. These are our prayers, O God. And now in the silence of our hearts, may we lift our most private needs before our God. And now let us say together the prayer which Jesus taught the disciples, daring to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Excellent work. And now I believe we have our time with children. The children.
Good morning. You're not sleepy, are you? No way. Come on. Okay, so I have a question. Who likes sports? You do? How many? Does anybody play sports? What do you play? Baseball. How about you? Gymnastics is a sport. Heck yes, yes. What about you? You play anything? Karate is a sport, yes, for sure. Anyone else? How many are familiar with soccer? Yeah? Okay, so what do you think it's called in other countries? Because in America we call it soccer.
Football,
excelente, young Henry, very good. So we're gonna talk about the most popular sport in the world. Americans wouldn't think soccer is the most popular sport in the world, but football or soccer is like the biggest sport ever. People love it. And what does it have to do with today's lesson? Well, in soccer, if someone were to do something dangerous, let's say, or irresponsible, or unsportsmanlike, a referee would go up to that player and pull out a yellow card. Hold that for me, lady. Hold it up. he pulled out a yellow card. And this would be a warning, like, you better stop doing that unsportsmanlike conduct. Maybe someone's holding a ball and a guy comes up and kicks the ball when the ball's right in front of his face. He'll get a yellow card. So the second time, if he does something unsportsmanlike or dangerous, he's gonna get this card, so flash the card. And then Josie, he's gonna get this card. It's, flash that up there so everybody can see. It's a red card. Now, when you get a red card, you're out of the game. One time, and then you're out, that's it. That seems kind of harsh. How many chances do you get in baseball? Adults, you can help. Three strikes, out. How about basketball? Is that, do you do that basketball? I'm not very good at this sports thing. Somebody needs to come up here and help me because I watch it, but basketball player, you get like six fouls, don't you? You get like six. Yeah, five, six. Okay, you get more than one. That's my point. So soccer's not very forgiving at all, is it? Okay, so how many times do you think we should forgive a person that does something unsportsmanlike or not nice to us? What do you think? How many times? How many times? A lot, yeah? What do you think? How many times should we forgive? A lot? You guys have done this so much. You're so good already. Look at this. I was hoping someone would say, one time, that's it. But you're right, a lot. So in the scripture, if you look, adults can look on the front of their bulletin. We have the New Revised Standard Version of the scripture. How often should I forgive you? Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. Now, in the I know you're laughing, but it's true. It's really hard to do. But in the New Living Translation, it says 7 times 70. Who's good at math? That's 490 times. 490 times you should forgive somebody is what Jesus says. Because Peter actually came up to him and said, hey, how many times should I forgive somebody? 7 times, thinking he was being really generous. And Jesus tells him, no, more like 7 times 70, a lot. And I think the point that Jesus is making is you always continue to forgive a person. You always give them chances because he forgives us like that. And he always gives us these chances. So there are some churches that actually have soccer leagues for kids. And they're called like Upward Soccer. And everything's the same except there are no yellow cards and red cards. If you make mistakes, you just get to keep going and do the best that you can. And I think that is where this scripture lesson today is trying to get us. Jesus wants us to forgive continuously, no matter how hard it is. 7 times 70 times a million zillion billion times we forgive each other, okay? So let us say a prayer together. Close your eyes. We are thankful to you, Lord, that you love us and that you forgive us without keeping count. Help us to love and forgive others as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. Good job. Have a good time at Sunday school. Thanks, Letha.
Good morning, everybody. There's several announcements I'm going to call to your attention, but as always, I like to open by saying it's an honor and a privilege to be able to stand up here and welcome you to worship at the First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood. Today is Sunday, September the 17th, and we have a very important job for you right after the service today. We will be assembling our Discovery Adventure, Bedside Adventure Kits, that's what they're called. They're Discovery Arts Bedside Adventure Kits, and as you've heard before, these are for children that are hospitalized for lengthy periods of time, and this group distributes these art kits. And I would tell you that it's probably as helpful to the parents as it is to the children to see them get something like this. And as always, it's an opportunity for us to serve in this community as we should, which we are called to do. So we'll be assembling 100 adventure kits today following worship in front of the lounge, 100 boxes, for 100 children who are hospitalized and undergoing treatment for cancer and other blood disorders. So, right after the service today, we'd ask that each one of you try to assemble one box. And there's no need to get three or four and try to do them all at once or anything like that. Be very careful and very succinct about how you put these together so that they're all done correctly and the same, so that nobody gets, I've got daughters that are both 15 years old and one looks over to the other one's box and says, hey, you know, wait a minute. Your parents out there have heard issues like that before. So be very careful about how you assemble these, and we'll leave here today with 100 boxes as we serve this community as we should. And we'll also get to know one a little bit better. There's snacks and food for us all to eat on while we assemble these boxes. Tomorrow morning, we will be participating in our first 8:15 chapel service for the Wesley School here in the sanctuary. At 10:30 a.m., the Tabitha Fellowship will meet in the hand-in-hand room just out the doors to your on your right as you go out to the south parking lot. Wednesday, September the 29th, Boy Scout Troop 18 meets in the Boy Scout Hut just off Backman behind me here. Choir rehearsal takes place at 7:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Thursday night, September the 21st, at 7 p.m., the PB&J Project, we'll be making 150 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the needy of this community. Saturday, September the 23rd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., United Methodist Women's Celebration in the sanctuary and in the social hall. And then at 6 p.m. that night to 11 p.m. will be our game night. And next Sunday's 8:15 service will be led by Sandra Smith in the Boyer Chapel. And there will be a 9 a.m. Sunday School Bible study with Sandra in the Boyer Chapel, 9 a.m., following that service. One other thing that I'd like to mention before I close here is you might send out prayers for Ken Ellis as he travels to the coast of Texas this morning. They can't get into Houston yet because of the primary cleanup that's just beginning, but he's already gone to start helping rebuild the south coast of Texas. So please say a prayer for him as he continues in this service. The altar flowers today, now this makes me feel old, because the altar flower, the altar flowers today are given by Philip, it's Rachel's 40th birthday. Happy birthday, Rachel. Thursday, September the 14th, so I wish her a happy belated birthday today. Thank you very much. So with those thoughts in our hearts and prayers, let us continue with this morning's worship service. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. So going along the lines of what Jeff was talking about, where Ken is in Texas, I want to thank you from UMCOR for your donations last week towards all those that were affected by the hurricane. And we raised $1,500 and we sent that out. So it's already on its way helping those folks in Houston. And UMCOR really uses every dime to help the people that are in need. It doesn't go to anything else but that. So know that that was a really good deed. And I'm gonna ask you again because of Irma. So special designated donation today on your envelope, mark it Irma, and I will send the check out the beginning of the week, tomorrow or Tuesday, and it will go to UMCOR at their special advance number that I'll need to get, or Irma. So again, I'll give you a little time here to do that because I have a couple more things to tell you and share with you. So let's see here. Oh, Discovery Arts, I wanted to thank you so much for 8 years of generosity towards this project. It started out as an idea to try to do that we brought to Deanne admissions 8 years ago. And Rachel and I got 25 boxes and sat at her kitchen table and decorated 25. And we filled 25 of them 8 years ago. And then we tried, let's try 45. And it kind of increased. And now we have 100. And it's a lot of work. It's a labor of love. But we can't do it without volunteers, without your donations. Thank you so much. And when you see what's out here, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to be so, so proud to be part of this community. And we're doing good work for Discovery Arts. And think about the kids. 100 children that are sick are going to get these precious boxes. And it's all because of what you do for Jesus Christ and what we do here as a community. So the offertory today. In Jesus' parable, the king forgave a debt that could never be repaid. The slave responded by withholding mercy to his own debtor. How fortunate we are that our God is like the king and not the slave. As we give today, may we do so out of the lavishness we have been shown by a God who forgives and loves us beyond measure. In gratitude for all the abundant blessings you have showered upon us, we celebrate as we receive our morning offering as the ushers wait upon the congregation this morning.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 18, 21 through 35, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. May the Lord add his blessing to his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. This text has Peter coming to Jesus asking if forgiving someone who has, we should forgive someone who has sinned against us. Asking if seven times was enough. While two or three times would have been the norm during biblical times, Jesus turns this on its head and says, in essence, infinity is the measurement for forgiveness. The business of forgiveness is tough indeed. When we have been wronged, or when we have wronged others, it seems difficult to get to a place of comfort. These are some thoughts on forgiveness that I literally grew up with. Maybe you have your own or similar ones. Forgive but never forget. I never get mad, but I always get even. In a sense, Jesus is saying, forgive forever. Whether it's 7 times 70, or you know, whether it's 490, or whether it's literally to infinity, the question is, how do we get there? Last week, we heard a slightly different side of the equation from Matthew. Jesus was instructed that if someone sins against you, you go to them in private. And we know that this is hardly possible in this day and age with all the social media. And then the next is, if it doesn't work, take 2 or 3 elders with you, and if that doesn't work, bring it before the congregation. And finally, if that does not work, treat them as tax collectors or Gentiles, meaning as outcasts. Yet we know from the stories of Jesus that he treated the outcasts as friends, even as beloveds. We know that not everyone forgives. I've done funerals where there is a rift in the family over some long past issue, sometimes so long so long gone and past that folks have forgotten what the actual slight was. Jesus is illustrating the power of forgiveness. Now, we know from modern psychological studies that there are health benefits for an attitude of forgiveness. And yet, we find it difficult when we read something in the paper about somebody who has murdered a member of someone's family and that family forgiving. It's hard for us to get our minds and hearts around that. Well, we know that forgiveness is not just an attitude. It can lower heart rate and lower blood pressure. One commentary suggested that we use Jesus as a sort of a personal fitness trainer in terms of spirituality. Jesus knows that forgiveness is good for us. And why is it so hard to do? Some of it would seem to be attitude and practice. Dr. Timothy Merrill, in a book titled Learning to Fall, A Guide for the Spiritually Clumsy, wrote a story about Henry Ward Beecher, the 19th century preacher, who wrote in his life thoughts that being able to forgive but not forget is just another way of saying, I cannot forgive. Merrill goes on to say he believes Beecher was wrong. Merrill's words read like this. Forgiveness is not saying, forget it. Forgiveness is not saying, I forget. Forgiveness is not saying, it's okay. Rather, forgiveness is saying, I'm okay, and I am willing to let God deal with whether you are okay. And I'm also willing to let go of my need to be the tool of correction and rebuke in your life. Forgiveness is not saying I no longer feel the pain. Rather, forgiveness is saying I no longer need to hold on to your involvement in my pain. Those are wonderful thoughts. However, we are, each of us, human, and when we are hurt, especially by someone we thought cared for us, the last thing on our minds is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a difficult and daily business. Yet with practice, it can become part of our spiritual muscle memory. I think I could confess that forgiveness is hard for me, especially if somebody's been particularly hurtful. And especially if I've been particularly hurtful, how could somebody forgive some dumb, terrible act? More than 40 years ago, somebody gave me a gift, and I've shared this, I think, a couple of times with you. And it's one of those practices that can become part of your spiritual muscle memory. If God loves me, am I not called to love myself? Hear that. If God loves me, am I not called to love myself? If God accepts me, am I not called to accept myself? If God forgives me, am I not called to forgive myself? It doesn't work all the time, but eventually it will work. If we allow ourselves to get to a point where we can forgive ourselves. Just a thought. The day is short, and we will do something throughout this day which each of us probably would want to be forgiven for. So just remember that God loves you, God accepts you, and God forgives you, and set it right with yourself in your own heart and mind. May it ever be so.